The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio, and happy holidays to everybody. Thank you, Mr. Chaz. Happy holidays to you, my friend. So this week, we're going to bring back another topic that's always fascinated me for the last year or so when I found out about this conference. It's about regenerative medicine. And if you saw our Generations TV show a couple weeks ago on OC16 Channel 12, by the way, we started a new Generations TV show, GTV, and we featured the Pacific Regenerative Medical Conference here in Hawaii at the Convention Center. I think we had about 100 so doctors and people in this industry, and it was very fascinating when I found out about this, is that because I'm 57, I'm a baby boomer, but yet we have parents to worry about, I have my son to worry about, and I want to be able to stay healthy and live as long as possible, if that's, well, it depends on how what you call possible, because I'm still active and doing a lot of things. But, you know, I've always wanted to kind of go take a deeper dive into this, and very behold, the next week after the conference, a doctor called me. I want to talk to you about a stem cell and a regenerative medicine, and he kind of filled my head with a lot of great things. So I said, let's talk about it. Let's come on a radio show, and we're happy to have Dr. Dwight Lynn here from. Are you on your own, Dwight, or you're Queens, or
I'm a Queens.
Oh, Queens.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show, by the way.
Yes, thanks for having me, Percy. Happy holidays.
Yeah, thank you. You're younger than I thought. You know, I figured with this kind of medicine, this kind of breakthroughs, you know, technology and research, I thought you'd be a little bit older.
Well, thanks, Percy. Actually, I'm going to be 50 in January, so appreciate the accolades there. But I feel it sometimes myself. So,
well, let me tell you, when I turn 50, and I tell everybody, because I still play a lot of sports, I tell them, man, something changes in your body. I don't know if you're very active at all in sports or anything, but I play a lot of men's softball, and when we play tournaments, back in the day, we just got out there and started throwing the ball and went and played. You know, today you see all these guys stretching on the side and warming up. Yep. It's funny, and then these younger guys coming in, they're 50, go, oh, no problem, no problem. And next week, 2 weeks later on, say they pulled a muscle or a groin, say, I told you, you got to stretch. But that's interesting about how we get older and how, you know, hopefully you realize yourself when you're in pretty good shape, but hopefully most people turning 50 understand that, you know, 50 is a new 30, but the body is not the same. The mind may be the younger, but.
Yeah, I think, you know, anybody who likes to be outside doing things as we age, you know, you realize that those aches and pains, they happen more easily and they take longer to heal up. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the blood supply, and that goes along with aging. And that ties into what you were just talking about with regenerative medicine.
Now, back up. Now, you just said something. You said it has something to do with blood supply.
Yeah.
So you're talking about as you get older, it doesn't flow as well.
Exactly. So for a lot of the things that we see in medicine, you know, whether it's cardiovascular disease for the heart, if it has to do with things like peripheral neuropathy, you know, how diabetes can affect your nerves, a lot of these things has to do with how well the cells in our body can receive nutrition and oxygenation. So as we age, we know that we lose that microvasculature, those tiny blood vessels. And along with the nutritional things and oxygen, we also don't have access to a lot of the cells, the reparative cells in our bodies, to get to the site where the injury is. So yeah, as we get older, we're more prone to heart attacks. When we get older, our skin gets more wrinkles. The joints, we get more injuries that just don't heal up quite as thoroughly.
That's one of the things that I've always try to find. I use Sato Hop and that Salone Pass when my muscles ache, and because I don't like playing hurt, and I trying to get back on the golf course as quickly as possible. But you're absolutely right, as you get older. But let me back up. So you know, like I said, I thought I was in my mind, Dr. Dwight Lynn, I was like, wow, he must be like 60 or 70 years old, must have a lot years of research. But you went to Harvard Medical and you went to Cornell University, so you have some credentials.
So yeah, I mean, I've been practicing in Hawaii for about this is going to be 19 years now in July. And I think, originally when I started medical school, I liked working with patients closely, being able to talk with them and establish a relationship and see them in a holistic kind of way. And I thought about family medicine. But as a neurobiology and behavior major in college, I always want to tie in that neurology, and also as an athlete, as a cyclist, and amateur martial artist, I've always enjoyed the sports medicine side. So rehabilitation and regenerative medicine just seems like a good blend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when you say cycling, do the triathlon, I mean, Tin Man or those kind of things, or just regular cycling?
Oh, in high school, I used to race with the cycling team a little bit when I was at Cornell as well.
Oh.
And then some traditional Japanese martial arts.
Well, good for you. Up. Yeah, it keeps you young. I'll tell you, I try to recommend everybody to stretch and get outdoors, get some, vitamin D and drink a lot of water, hydrate yourself, because that's really important to stay young.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we want to talk today about regenerative medicine. So can you, I know you gave me a lot of questions to look at. When I heard the word regenerative, I kind of had an idea, but when it comes to aging and the medicine side of it, what exactly, or can you kind of, in a nutshell, kind of explain to our audience what regenerative medicine is?
So when we talk about a field as broad as regenerative medicine, there's a lot of aspects to it. And I think on the one hand, the term makes us think about this fountain of youth kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But on a realistic standpoint, it's just referring to this aspect of medicine that has many different disciplines to it. I think whether you're talking about orthopedics, or you're talking about neurology, or even applications for aesthetics, you're really talking about how do we optimize the healing process? How do we nurture recovery? As opposed to what our typical approaches in medicine is to use some type of chemical medication to modify or stop something. We're trying to find how we can, optimize the healing process. How do we get the cells in our body that are already doing the work to help us recover? How do we keep those cells on track?
Yeah, and that's so typical with what I won't say Western medicine, what they all they want to do is give you a prescription and medicate you. And mm-hmm. I just saw your bio here. You're on the State of Hawaii Narcotic Policy Committee. And so what are we doing in Hawaii? Because the opioid epidemic is big in Hawaii, and we got to find some way to curb that a little bit, don't you think?
Exactly. And I think what my role to that work group was that my perspective was that if we can help intervene earlier with non-surgical and non-narcotic options to help people who have injuries or help people who've got orthopedic or joint problems, we can avoid using a lot of those painkillers that cause problems later on down the road. So I think one of the problems we have today, and I'm sure you've seen this in the media, there's big issues with the pharmaceutical industry. There's a lot of financial interest in making sure that, we as patients, myself included, I take prescription medications, whether it's for cholesterol or for blood pressure. But I think that as physicians, we learn these medications in medical school. We kind of study and memorize these things for tests. But it's important to step back and take a look at what's happening at a cellular level. Are there different ways we can treat this without, putting more chemical medications in our system? And I think that's where regenerative medicine has the most potential. I think we all know we have to eat right. We know we have to exercise to make sure our bodies and our cells are getting what they need. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten to a point with technology now that we can actually study more of what's happening on a cellular level and a molecular level. And I think this is a real paradigm shift in how we treat. In the past, for things like arthritis, what have you got? You can take aspirin or Motrin. You could see an acupuncturist or see a massage therapist mm-hmm. to get the circulation going so it feels better. And if nothing else helped, if you're doing your rehabilitation physical therapy, if nothing else helps, you might get a cortisone shot, and then what? You have to get surgery. You get the joint replaced.
Right.
And now the philosophy is, listen, what can we do to preserve the joint rather than replace the joint?
Right. Well, I know when I had my shoulder surgeries a couple of years ago, as soon as I left, they gave me a prescription and said, what's this for? So if painkillers, it's going to really hurt. I said, well, okay. And I was surprised they only gave me 8, because I hear so many stories that they're giving you 10 or 50 pills, but I only gave me 8.
Mm-hmm.
I took half of one, and I said, this does not good. I didn't feel good at all. So I didn't take any painkillers after that, and I don't take any medication right now. But That's something that we're seeing and hearing a lot more stories in the senior community where they're overprescribing a lot of these opioids. Isn't that, but I thought it was a law they were trying to pass or didn't pass.
So I think for on a state level, I think it's important, one, that patients have to know that, you know, pain is not a diagnosis. And that if you are seeing your doctor for something that's causing you pain, you know, you want to make sure you have an accurate diagnosis so your doctor's treating the right thing. The pain is just a symptom that something's not functioning properly. There's an injury somewhere. On a state level, I think that as physicians, there needs to be a little more care with how you prescribe these medications. It's not that they're bad. They're not inherently evil. There's a role for them. If you've got a fracture, if you've had major surgery, you may need a painkiller temporarily.
Right.
But I think if you look at you know, what's happened, again, at a national level, I think some of these pharmaceutical companies have been very aggressive in marketing these products. In fact, there was a issue with the way some of the oxycodones were marketed even to hospitals and medical students. For a long time, medical students were taught that there was an extremely low chance of anyone being addicted to these things. And that turns out this was a big marketing pitch.
Right.
And I think when we, again, we step back now, we see the bigger picture and how it affects sales and you know, the economics for these big pharmaceutical companies. Obviously, you know, on a state level, we have to step back and say, how do we regulate this, but not take an important medication out of the hands of the doctors who are just trying to help people.
Yeah, it's just something we've seen getting worse and worse and worse. And for the elder community here is pretty scary thought.
Sure.
The DEA has an annual or semi-annually where they have drug take back day.
Sure.
Are you involved with that at all?
Well, I think we have. You know, we're always kind of attuned to that to make sure that our patients know that if you do have extra painkillers that you might have had from your wisdom tooth, your surgery from a year or two ago, it's important you do dispose of those properly, that you do that in the drug take back or you dispose them properly, because sometimes those medications get stolen or they get diverted. And that's, I think, where a large problem with the opioid epidemic is coming from. It's not just folks taking them and getting addicted to them. It's just they don't always end up where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, and so we've actually done stories in a magazine about this, the Take Back program. I know they're at the senior fair every year, so it's a good thing. So, but I mean, we're all kind of off topic. So regenerative medicine, you bring up a term, orthobiologic. What exactly does that term mean?
So orthobiologics refers to a aspect of regenerative medicine looking at how do we nurture the recovery of injured joints, injured cartilage, tendons, muscles, by using biologic cellular mechanisms rather than just trying to put cortisone or trying to use a painkiller to hide the problem. I think for a long time, decades, I mean, myself included, in the 18 years I've been in practice, a lot of what I've done is injected cortisone. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure anybody who's listening now who's had a painful knee or a painful shoulder.
Yep, I've had it.
Might have been offered at least a cortisone shot.
Yeah, I took, I think, two shots over 3 years.
Okay. You know, it's interesting, Percy, if you ask your doctor how it works, ask him how it works. What's it doing? He's going to probably say, it's going to help with, swelling. And you'll say, okay, swelling. So, doc, what does that do to how my shoulder's going to heal? And he or she might say, well, we can't do too many of those shots.
Yeah.
And you say,
three
wait
a year or something like that, right?
Why can't we do them, you'd say? It feels better, right? It turns out while the cortisone reduces inflammation, it also shuts down a lot of the good healing processes.
Right.
So if you put too much cortisone into an injured joint, for example, it will damage and kill off some of the cells that are lining the inside of the joint. So I think over time, it's very clear we know that cartilage tendons are very vulnerable to too much cortisone.
Yeah, I think it was like they told me like three times a year with the maximum you want to do. I did like two over a 2 year period when I went to play tournaments, and it feels like brand new, but after a while it wears off and it can lead to arthritis down the road too if you have too many cortisone shots. Is that correct?
Yeah, because it's going to affect the cells, the viability, how much the cells can live, the cartilage that lines the inside of the joint. You know, you mentioned something there that it feels good initially. I think what's important to remember is that, you know, whether it's a cortisone shot or a platelet injection or a stem cell injection or one of these orthobiologic procedures to help the healing, that's really just a stepping stone to the right rehabilitation program. I mean, you can get injections or shots done all day long, but if you're not strengthening the right muscle groups nearby to protect that joint, you're going to end up with the same problem, you know, months or weeks down the line anyway.
Right.
So I think, you know, when you talk about the pain problem, the opioid epidemic, I think as a society, we're pretty fast paced. We like things to get better quick.
Yep.
And we do have a lot of new technology for that. But part of it takes time to strengthen these muscles and joints. It takes time.
It does. So the conference was very fascinating. I mean, unfortunately, I couldn't be there because I actually got shingles that week before.
Yeah.
And I was out for about 8 to 10 days on my side, icing it for 22 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
I only got up to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And
that's
painful.
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you. So if you haven't had a shot, and I said, so I asked my nurse practitioner friend who's in a magazine, Steven. I said, Steven, why didn't you tell me about it? He goes, well, you normally don't get the shot until after 60. But I guess you can get a shot before that, but you just got to pay it out of your pocket. But I'm telling everybody right now, all my friends, because I've ran into about 5 people now that got it 40 and younger. And I guess what brings it out a lot of it is from stress, basically, a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's painful, guys. I mean, and it does go for women, too, because I know about 4 women personally that I know that have gotten it. And some of them got in the eyes and the face. Most people got in their chest, but... telling you, we're actually going to have an article in the next magazine.
Well, I think, you know, to your point, Percy, I think there are a lot of things in medicine, and we touched upon this a little bit already, that are kind of dictated by the economics of it.
Yep.
You know, would it be more helpful to folks like you who are active, who are like, I can't afford to be laid up for 2 weeks because the shingles is,
yeah.
And I don't think anybody can afford the time, the quality of life for that, but somewhere along the line, some person who works for, you know, does the statistics for an insurance company said, this is what we're going to pay for. And I think, it's important for patients to be able to educate themselves and know when to say, listen, I think this is something I'd like to get done. Discuss it with their doctor. Find out if it's really right for them.
You know? Yeah, I actually do my annual physical next month. So I'm going to tell my doctor, hey, you got to tell your younger patients if they want to get it, you're going to pay for it. But I tell you, I'll pay for it because I was out for a while and I missed a regenerative conference. I was actually supposed to open the day. For the conference, and I was looking forward to that. And then the week before, I go, what is this on my side of my chest? I looked down, like, oh my goodness. I text a picture to my nurse practitioner guy, Steven Ito. He goes, that's shingles. So luckily, he prescribed medicine. I got medicine within about 3-4 hours, and it wasn't as painful as I thought because I iced it, because I think ice really helped tremendously.
Yeah.
But it was still painful.
Well, it can be very debilitating for folks. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people my age that are active, maybe like yourself, we think we're bulletproof, right? No. There's so many things that could go on. But so let me ask you this. Did you attend both days of the conference?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did you get? Is that the first time you've been to one of these conferences? Because I know there's a worldwide conference that goes on every year, right?
So, yeah, I think this was the first year for the Pacific Regenerative Medicine Conference. And I think there are a number of other meetings I attend in the mainland over the past several years. I think if you look at what's happening right now with the Pacific Regenerative Medicine Conference, we had a great start. We had a lot of speakers there talking about stem cell applications, basic research, how it can help things like orthopedics, oncology, cancer, even cardiovascular. I think that in the future, we're going to be looking more at other aspects and how it may affect the economy in Hawaii. There was some discussion about, you know, Hawaii being a place where people come to sit in the beach, but they someday may be able to come here and get advanced medical treatment and recover and recuperate at a place that's a lot nicer than, for example, North Dakota in the middle of the wintertime.
Yeah. But I understand the state was there, and I believe they're looking at trying to create a little entity here or facility to facilitate practice and technology in everything, anything to do with aging?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is that the research is still so new in this field. And, you know, FDA and a lot of agencies are kind of looking at how to make sure that we keep medical care in the United States at the forefront worldwide, but at the same time, making sure that we're taking the right steps to make sure it's done properly. And I think In Hawaii here, we've got a great start with the Pacific Regenerative Medicine Conference. Yeah,
yeah, the entity is called the Pacific Technology Institute on Aging.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at trying to create a facility or entity out in the Waipio side of the island to something like the Manoa Innovation Center they have in Manoa.
Okay.
Something like that. And I think it's really great. I think especially if they can get use examples like Cardax. You know, mm-hmm. I take Xanthosin because I'm very active, and Xanthosin to me has been great. I pulled 2 groin muscles in the last 6 months,
mm-hmm.
but I was back to playing within about 5-6 weeks.
Yeah,
which was I was pretty surprised because I pulled it before and I've never been back for like 4 or 5 months, and you know it really helped because I play every year except for December, and it really helped a lot. So Dave Watermo has been on our show. If you go back to our Generations 808 website, you can go back and listen to his show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very fast. That's what really got me fascinated with him when I met him about 6-8 months ago. And with the conference, I think is a start. And I know Brian over there who produced that event,
yeah.
Avery, mm-hmm. Looking at a bigger things next year. So we took a lot of film. If you go back to our website, generations808.com, as I said, and look for segment 4, and we feature that conference. So what other things was interesting to you that you is for Hawaii, or thing that you saw that was new in this conference?
Well, I think what impressed me most was that people really weren't aware of it here in Hawaii.
Yeah,
that people aren't aware of the technology that's available. If you look at how we as physicians do things, typically I'm speaking for physicians as a group in general, that we tend to be pretty conservative. You know, we like to see data, we like to see information, we like right. to see that there's a standard. And I think for regenerative medicine, you know, even only, 5 years ago when I was talking about using ultrasound to do injections, for example, a lot of my colleagues would look at me and say, like, what do you bother with ultrasound? You don't, you've been putting injections in knees and shoulders for, 20 years, 30 years. You don't need ultrasound to guide a needle. And now, actually for most, advanced sports medicine clinics, I think if you're injecting a shoulder, for example, when you put a needle in there, there's a lot of structures that you can be in the tendon, you can be in the muscle, you can be up against the bone. And, for what we used to do in medicine with cortisone shots, maybe it didn't matter. But now that we're going to be using, more advanced technologies, cellular orthobiologic treatments, these cells and things can be delivered very carefully. I think what's great is that at the conference, I had a chance to talk to some doctors from Maui, some naturopathic doctors from there, from doctors from Hilo, and talking about trying to get this type of technology to be more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
There's simpler ways to inject a shoulder, just put the needle in. It's fast, it's quick.
Right.
But, and if it's cortisone, maybe it doesn't matter because it's going to spread through the tissue anyhow. But, when you're talking about orthobiologics, these cells don't have a GPS device. They don't know where to go. And it's like working with, brick and mortar. You need to put those cellular pieces in the right place so they can heal up properly.
So what is your background and what is your experience with the regenerative medicine? I know you have offices at Queens. So in your practice, what kind of steps do you use, or how do you counsel your clients?
What it has done in my practice is change how I think about helping the patient out. When I first went into practice, and I finished my training at Harvard, in fact, I remember thinking, okay, I've got all these different techniques I can use, X-ray guidance to put this shot here or there, and for sciatica, I can use long-lasting or short-acting cortisone to help people with a painful knee. But more important than that, I think stepping back with regenerative medicine and taking a look at, okay, for example, Percy, and we talked earlier about your shoulder, for example. Someone who comes in with a shoulder injury, we think about putting a cortisone shot in there. We think about rehabilitating that shoulder with the right exercises. But now when we get the MRI and we see there's a small tear, the tendon is thickened, instead of just saying, okay, let's just put some cortisone, see if the swelling will come down, instead of just having someone talk to the orthopedic, and the orthopedic surgeon says, yeah, he's got a small tear, but pain's not too bad. You really want to take him to the OR right now? Well, maybe you don't need to do that right now.
Right.
And you might be stuck kind of just watching and waiting. now we have the option of trying to put some cells in there to nurture the healing process without all the side effects of the cortisone. You know, and cortisone does have a lot of, that's one thing I kind of get in my soapbox about sometimes, is cortisone has a lot of side effects. It pushes your immune system down. It thins out the bones. I mean, patients with osteoporosis are going to have a lot more problems with their bones getting thinner if they're using a lot of cortisone. People with diabetes, their blood sugar is going to go up for 2 to 3 weeks. So, and again, as a spine and sports doc for, you know, almost 20 years, I've used a lot of cortisone. That's all we had.
Right.
But over the past few years, it's a real paradigm shift in terms of using medications that just hide the problem or just get the swelling down so people feel better in the short term versus putting something in that's going to actually nurture the healing process. What's fascinating is that, you know, if you look at the veterinary medicine industry, you know, our pets have actually had better access to these types of technologies than we do. In fact, veterinary orthopedics is probably about 10 years ahead of the human side because there aren't all the regulatory aspects to it. I had an interesting dinner with Roger Smith, who's an orthopedic veterinary professor at the Royal College in the UK. And when we sat down to talk about how he was treating his patients who are, you know, elite racehorses.
Wow.
And he said, "Dwight, I bet I can tell more about my patient in less than, you know, 3 minutes than you can tell after, you know, 20 minutes with your patient in a room." I said, "What are you talking about? You can't even talk to your patient." I said, "I get out the racing form. If these horses aren't making their times, they literally get put out to pasture."
Right.
And it made me stop and think for a bit because I realized, you know, when they're studying these elite racehorses, they can do MRIs pre and post. They can culture cells. They can do all kinds of things to put the right types of cells in place and check it out. And then meanwhile, my patients, we're stuck, you know, how do we get this MRI authorized? Do we have to get permission from the insurance company to do this, that, or the other thing? And not to mention the fact what the FDA has been saying, like we can or cannot do in terms of helping our patients using these types of cellular treatments. So
what kind of thoughts or ideas or research have you been able to take some back from your dinner with Dr. Smith?
Yeah, I think ultrasound probably has been the big game changer for me over the past 6 years, in that there's no radiation involved, it's cheap, it's fast. In like 10 seconds, when someone comes in with a painful knee, I can see very quickly, is there fluid in the knee? If someone comes in, you know, with a shoulder problem, no authorization, none of this, I can just very quickly examine the shoulder and scan that shoulder. I can see if there's fluid or a tear in some of those muscles right there. And that's a big change right there, is being able to see things quickly right in the office. I think most folks these days in our field, the field of physical medicine, rehabilitation, doctors are using ultrasound. I think most docs probably on the whole are not, though. It's something you'll probably see some orthopedic surgeons using, and I'd say physical medicine rehab guys using that type of technology. I'm not the only one, by the way. There's other docs that, you know, who are around who are using the technology. It's just that most people, I think, they're kind of surprised when they come into the office and we can do these things real fast and quick.
All right. So we're talking about stem cells today, and we're here with Dr. Dwight Lin from the Queens. But you had mentioned earlier when I first talked to you about the regulations and FDA approval with stem cell replacement or stem cell procedure. And you said there's only two doctors in Hawaii that are licensed or approved?
Well, so the way medicine is practiced right now is that pretty much you have your medical license, and we do what we can within our own field of specialty. So as a spine and sports specialist, I'm going to treat the things within that area. I know there's a couple other docs around who do some of the stuff at Straubing and Hilo, you know.
Right.
But what I was getting to about FDA is that nationwide, there have been a couple cases that have had everybody saying, stop, wait, what's going on here with these stem cell procedures? So I don't know if we talked about this before,
right.
But you know, in Florida, there was a clinic where some patients actually went blind because they were getting their eyes injected with some type of cellular preparation. And when this happened, and the local medical board looked into it, turns out that they were not following the types of guidelines the FDA had established in terms of what is appropriate, what's not appropriate. There have been situations, I think, for networks of doctors in the mainland where you might get, for example, a plastic surgeon who's treating some type of neurologic disease, Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, and making kind of grand claims about these cellular treatments. So I think when you talk about which doctors are doing this kind of thing, we need to see if it falls within their usual specialty.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break here. We're here with Dr. Dwight Lin from Queens, talking about stem cell replacement and regenerative medicine, which is pretty fascinating to me. And if you're a guy like me, you want to come back for after this short break. Thank you.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690, The Answer.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay.
It's a party at the Cow.
Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play.
It's a party at the Cow.
We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
It's a party at the Cow.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
Hi, I'm back again. This is Ed speaking on Medicare Hints.
A lot of people may not realize that they may qualify for extra financial assistance to help pay for their premiums and prescription drug costs, depending on their income and their total assets. These savings can be especially helpful for seniors who are on a fixed income.
Find out if you qualify. Call us.
Helping you work your way through the confusion. Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Oahu's newest senior living community, Ilima at Lehano, is now open in the heart of Kapolei. Within this beautiful new community, offering independent living, assisted living, and memory care, you will experience a feeling of ohana that provides a sense of community and peace of mind for our kupuna. A range of spacious apartment styles are available, from large studios to spacious one- and two-bedroom plans, most with a large private lanai. Be one of the first to call Ilima your home. Visit ilima@lehano.com or call 674-8022.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer.
5914777 Who's got the best deals in Vegas around? Who's got the best? Call 5914777 today. Vacations Hawaii. Vacations Hawaii. vacation's Hawaii.
Good luck, we go play.
4-9-1-4-7-2-8.
Good luck,
we go play.
Complete 4 5-night packages from $6.99. Vacation's Hawaii, your favorite connection to Vegas.
Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. As you guys know, we're on Facebook, by the way. Check us out there. We have our great 23-year-old part-time girl that does all our postings. And it's really helped, you know, the baby boomer generation really follows Facebook a lot. So we post all our cover stories. We just came out. The five people on the cover here is being distributed as we speak, featuring five really game changers in our industry. If you look at the magazine, if you go on our website, generations808.com, on the left side is Mr. Jerry Correa, head of St. Francis, and they're building out a big kupuna village out there. On the far right is Chris Ridley, who works at Life Care Center in Hilo. Unfortunately, she has just recently moved to the mainland for family issues, and she was very involved in Alzheimer's Association over there. On the far left is Jackie Bolin. She's a community person for AARP here in Hawaii. She plans probably about, I will tell you, 15 to 20 events a year for AARP, and she's great. She's great to work with. In the middle is Dr. Tony Lunzer, our matriarch of our industry. He was the first director on aging in the late 70s, early 80s. He actually did about an online course of TV on aging for PBS, which was run nationally. He is a former co-founder of HPGS, which is our Hawaii Pacific Gerontological Society. Dr. Dwight, you might want to get involved with that. These are about 250 professionals in our field. Some doctors, some nurses, but people that work in facilities, and you want to meet them. We might want to have you as a webinar guest.
Sure.
But he is still going strong. He's 87. He's actually featured in this week's Generations TV show. And on the far right is our young Mapuana, who does our social media, but has been doing care for 6 years. And she's specializing in working with Alzheimer's dementia patients over at the Life Care, the place on Nuanu, Nuanu, going down the left. They have two places. I can't remember the name of it. I'll figure it later out. But she's been caring for and specialized in Alzheimer's dementia patients. Mapuana Ta'amu from Waimanalo. So she's a cute girl. But she's done great work. And like I said, follow us on Facebook. Our Generations TV show right now will feature if you talk about the UH volleyball, unfortunately they lost. But the UH volleyball aunties that make the lays, two great ladies. We follow them to the lay place where she picks up the flowers, and then Loretta, puts it all together. And she has arthritis; she's 81, but keeps her strong, keeps her mentally in there. And I didn't know they make lays for both the men's and women's volleyball teams and for the opposing team. So they're making 40 lays
That's
per game.
A lot
game.
Of lays.
Well, 2,000 to 3,000 lays per game makes 40 lays. So I give him a lot of credit. Watch the show. If you miss it, you can go online to our website, generations808.com, and watch it over there on your computer. And also, don't forget, if you want to pick up a hard copy, the best place to pick it up statewide is at the all the libraries. That's the best place because there's 50 libraries in the state on every island. And if you forget, just go to the library. They'll talk about it. They'll see it there. And if you actually want to go online, don't have a computer, go to the library. They'll set up the computer for you. And you can watch it on their website on their computer. So I love Stacy over there, director of the library system here, and they do a great job. So anyway, we're here about regenerative medicine. And so if you missed the first part of the show, Dr. Dwight, again, can you explain exactly what or the broad sense of what regenerative medicine is?
So regenerative medicine refers to the medical technology that we're using to try and nurture the healing process, recovery for injured muscles, tendons, joints, ligaments, rather than just putting, chemical medications to try and stop pain or stop inflammation. Regenerative medicine has applications for cardiology, for oncology, but for my specialty of spine and joints, we're trying to use things like platelets, PRP, and stem cells to help nurture people back to a range of motion, strength, back to sports, golf, rather than, just putting cortisone shots everywhere. What's really interesting is that FDA last week, 2 weeks ago, came out with their guidelines, which set out specific rules for how these types of cellular treatments can be used. Because it turns out, Percy, that, if, for example, right now, if you said to me, hey, Dwight, can we do a PRP injection for my shoulder? My shoulder's having pain, or I got a rotator cuff problem. I say, okay, Percy, we'll do it. Let's get some stem cells. And you'd say, hey, doc, so that's great. You can get me 50,000 of my cells right now, but I want 500 million. How do we do it? And I'd say, you know what, Percy? Give me the cells. We'll take them today. Come back in 3 weeks. I'm going to grow them. We'll put them back in you then. We'll have a much better chance of success. She said, great. I'll see you in 3 weeks. FDA says, no. Dr. Lin, you can't do that because if you take the cells out of your body, you've created a drug because you've processed it, you've grown it. On the other hand, FDA says, okay, you can take Percy's platelets, which contain growth factors, separate from his blood, and then inject them into an injured tendon or an injured joint. That is pretty much going to be okay as long as you don't do anything more than minimally process those cells.
So, but like you said, when you first part of the story, you said you take it out and let it grow for 2 or 3 weeks and then put it back in. What are you doing at that particular time, though? Are you adding anything to that?
Well, you might use media to help give the cells something to live on and grow and keep them in a sterile condition. And some clinics do that, but they have to do that outside of the U.S. now.
Oh.
So when you hear about people going to places like Thailand or Panama to get these things done, that's because the regulations are very lax.
But is it safe in those other countries?
Well, I guess that remains to be seen. I think a lot of attention got placed on PRP, you know, about almost 10 years ago now, I guess. Kobe Bryant went to Germany to get PRP, platelet-rich plasma injections done. And I think, you know, more recently, you know, Steph Curry, before the NBA Finals last year, he had a tendonitis issue with his knee, I think. And media says that he had PRP injections. We don't know what he really had, but, you know, that they're saying he got a blood injection. And what they're talking about is using platelets, you know, platelets being the cells, when you get a cut in your hand, the platelets stop the bleeding. And so a week later, when the cut heals up, the scab falls off because the platelets have released growth factors that turn on the stem cells nearby. And that's why the platelets are very useful as vehicles to deliver, you know, these growth factors and proteins to the area where the injury is. So platelets, also known as PRP, that's one type of injection you can do to help an injured tendon or joint. And
but that's not here allowed in the U.S.
It is allowed. Right now, according to the FDA guidelines, that does look like it's minimally processed, so the cells are okay.
Got it.
But what's holding us back right now is how we can actually use stem cells. There's two places that our bodies have stem cells in high concentration. It's going to be adipose or fat and also bone marrow. And you're thinking, wait a minute, that sounds like you got to dig inside my body to get those. That's exactly what you got to do.
Really?
So it's not as simple, you know, as a platelet, we just get a blood sample. It's like getting your blood test done. We just get a little more blood. We isolate the platelets. For the stem cells, we got to do some liposuction or we have to go into the bone marrow with a little device to extract the cells. And it can be uncomfortable.
So is it that quick? I'm a Steph Curry fan. I've liked Golden State Warriors before they were NBA champions.
Awesome.
Unfortunately, when I was going, the prices of tickets were pretty reasonable. Now, Upper Deck starts at like $500.
Wow.
I was there twice in the last couple of years. Like, after they won it, like, oh, my God, I don't think I can go again. Because 1 year, my friend took us, and so he paid for the tickets. It was much lower. So my turn was the following year, but that's the year they won. So I'm like, oh, wow. But, yeah, I mean, he's a great athlete. But so when he did his platelet replacement, how long is it? Does that take a long time?
The procedure's pretty quick. I mean, once you've made a diagnosis, if you've been told you've got a tendonitis in your knee or rotator cuff tendonitis and your doctor's saying, listen, you've injured the tendon, there's no surgery that's needed. Here, take these painkillers, take these anti-inflammatories, aspirin, Motrin, do your rehab. And maybe after 6 weeks, 8 weeks, you're still having pain and you're thinking, what am I going to do now? You might try acupuncture, some different things to try and stimulate that healing process. You know, platelets are just one other way to kind of get that healing process going a little quicker. And the studies have been looking really, really good.
Wow.
I think when we first started this, you know, 5 years ago, there was still a lot of eyebrows going up. And recently in the spring, even some of the orthopedic surgery journals have been recommending to their surgeons, you need to discuss options like PRP with your patients before you take them to the operating room for arthroscopy. And like I said, it's a game changer because this means that, you know, potentially someone with a painful arthritic knee is not going to have the same downtime. It's not going to cost as much either as, you know, going through a surgery.
So, but is that, are there any downsides to that? Anything to worry about, like when you do a cortisone shot?
You know, I actually feel a lot more comfortable injecting a knee with platelets or stem cells just because it's, you don't have to worry about the same side effect compared to cortisone. Cortisone, mm-hmm. we got to worry about infections. Steroids suppress your immune system. And we talked about some of the side effects, you know, blood sugar and diabetes going up and affecting your bone thickness if you have osteoporosis. So if anything, you know, the cells, the platelets and your stem cells are involved with fighting off infection. So a lot of times I'm not as concerned. We still take the same precautions when we inject them, but it's just such a much a quicker procedure. You know, people come in, we take the blood sample, we do the injection. They're usually done within an hour, 2 hours. You know, stem cell procedure might take a few more hours just to, you know, extract them and, you know, have the patient rest and monitor them afterwards. But compared to surgery, it truly is minimally invasive.
Yeah. Interesting. It's interesting about the platelets because I know a lot of people that still are getting active in my age group, mm-hmm. and they want to play well. They played like college ball, like our 50-plus team. A lot of people from UH are playing, going to the Nationals with us. And it's interesting. A lot of people have joint problems. That might be an option for them. Would it be an option for
them? Yeah. In fact, more patients we see now are coming in because, you know, they're in their 50s or 60s. They want to keep golfing or playing ball or tennis. And their surgeon might have said, listen, you know, you've already had your cortisone shots. You need to talk about joint replacement. You know, if you're in your 50s and your doctor is talking about a joint replacement, that's pretty young.
Yeah, that
is. You know, I think they talk about these the joint replacements having, you know, how long do they last? Maybe 15 years, I think, for that type of thing, is to get your joint replaced in 50, you know, in Hawaii, we live till, you know, 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and you're still active.
If not 90s. If you're relatively active, it's going to be 90s.
Yeah. And you're not sitting at home when you're in your 80s either. You're still running over to the, you know, Daiei or Don Quixote and doing your errands. So I think when you think about that joint replacement surgery, it is necessary for some folks. It's just that people should, you know, educate themselves to understand what their options are so that when they finally do need that surgery, they know they've really exhausted all the options there.
Yeah, well, my dad's 89, still plays tennis 3 times a week. And unfortunately, he couldn't go. I saw him last night. And he said, I couldn't go yesterday. I said, why? I go, well, there was a 7-car accident on H3. Oh, so he was like 45 minutes late. So he came back. So he was a little upset they couldn't play tennis yesterday. He goes every Monday, Wednesday, Friday religiously. And unfortunately, everybody his age doesn't play anymore. So he has to play against young 80s or late 70s. It's so funny. But, I mean, that's my goal. That's why my interest. And a lot of guys I play ball with now, it's interesting. The national softball tournament's in Vegas, late September, early October. And the amount of teams just every year grows because interest and people are staying active.
Yeah.
At my age, more so. I mean, I never thought about playing in tournaments at my age. That's why I didn't get the surgery early on. But now I can play more, and there's actually some great tournaments on the mainland that local guys go up and play.
Yeah.
And it's really important. So let me ask you this. Does insurance cover this at all?
Some workers' comp does cover these procedures. I've noticed it's mostly mainland workers' comp. Hmm. Locally, we don't have any coverage right now. I think that it's just a matter of time. There have been some large organizations studying, for example, I think in the U.S., $7 billion spent on knee replacement surgery.
Alone.
Oh. And when they look at how much would be saved by using regenerative procedures, PRP or stem cell injection, they're looking at saving, you know, $700-800 million. And not to mention all that downtime. You know, there's a lot of lost productivity when you're recovering from a surgery like that. So I think it's coming. I think it'll be more mainstream in the future. FDA is doing its thing to make sure people can get it safely. PRP looks like a great option now. Stem cells, we still need to figure out what the best way to use these things are. But right now, I think it's something that people should just pay attention to and know that they have their options.
Yeah. Well, quality of life is so important. You know, I work specifically with the aging population, and quality of life is everybody wants to try and achieve that. Whether they can afford it or not is another issue.
Right.
But I noticed on your list here of items to talk about, you talk about osteoarthritis. And, sure. and I was actually on the arthritis board for 3 years. I just came off the end of last year. Because my son's playing more ball now, so I just devote more time. But I'm just refocusing everything on our TV show. But arthritis is a huge, huge marketplace and huge demographic of people that have that in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And so is that insurance doesn't cover any of that procedures?
They don't. I mean, they'll cover the rehabilitation component, and they would cover things like a consultation. So those things are, you know, pretty simple. But I think that the insurance companies still need to see how it's going to save their patients time and resources when they don't have to get that surgery. And I think we've all had situations where that knee was just so painful, and you're thinking, oh, this is it. I got to get the surgery done. And you know what? It gets better. Same thing with that shoulder, right? And there's been times when people are able to avoid that. And you wonder, well, what happened there? I thought I had really bad arthritis, and I had to have that surgery done, but I'm feeling better. So I think my point to that is osteoarthritis refers to a wear and tear process, and there's a mechanical component to it. If you've got bone on bone rubbing against each other in your knee, okay, you might have to get that knee replaced. On the other hand, if you have a milder, a grade 1 or grade 2 arthritis in your knee, and you had a cortisone shot a year or two ago and it worked wonders, and you don't want to keep getting those, now you've got other options before you're thinking about going for a surgery. And I think it's pretty clear that the osteoarthritis, we think of it as a mechanical thing, but there's definitely an inflammatory component too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was the next topic I want to talk about, anti-inflammatory. And I've been taking Xantosin for, what, 3 or 4 months now. And to me, it's really helped me a great deal. But everything, you know, I was talking to David Watermore, everything goes back to inflammatory. Everything, you know, and anti-inflammatory supplements or whatever you can find is really the big rage now, in my personal opinion. I see so many commercials now about this, right? And so how does your procedures help or replace those procedures?
Well, I think anti-inflammatory is a good approach, and something like a natural, you know, xanthophyll is a great option, because you have to look at what the side effects are. You know, aspirin, it's an anti-inflammatory. You know, and there's good things about it. You know, your cardiologist, your doctor might tell you to take it to prevent, you know, problems with your heart. On the other hand, you take too much of that, it's going to cause bleeding in your stomach. Right. It causes other problems. So I think when you talk about anti-inflammatories as a group, they've got a great set of applications. If you have something that's swollen and painful, that's a great way to get the swelling down. Your question, though, you said that how does this affect or how does it interact with, you know, a stem cell or a PRP injection? The cells are actually working at molecular level to get things healed. So, for example, when you injure yourself, you get a cut, your body's sending in platelets to stop the bleeding and turn on stem cells nearby to get the healing process going. Hmm. So part of those things are happening. The swelling and the pain you feel when you get injured, that's your body telling you, hey, give this part of your body a rest. What we want to do is take the cells that are showing up at that same time and concentrate them where the injury is.
We got a couple more minutes, so let me ask you this. If somebody's interested, because we get calls, and I don't want them to call me, I'll have them call you, Dr. Dwight.
Yeah.
And when they want information to talk to somebody, what are some of the good questions that they should be asking their doctor about in terms of orthopedic, orthobiologic, and the platelet replacement?
So start simply just by asking ask your doctor, you know, what is the diagnosis here? You know, usually when you see your doctor, they give you some papers and you check out, tells you what you saw them for. Pain is not a diagnosis. You know, back pain is not a diagnosis. Knee pain is not a diagnosis. Knee arthritis, that's a diagnosis. A meniscus injury is a diagnosis. Rotator cuff tear or shoulder bursitis, those are diagnoses. But if you're seeing just pain and your doctor's not being real specific, it might be time to ask, hey, can I talk to a specialist so we can be more precise about what you're treating me for?
Right.
And if you're being offered an injection, make sure that you understand what the medication is for.
Okay. That's great information. We'll probably have to bring you back on, Dr. Dwight. I appreciate your time.
That'd be great.
Your information. For those of you who want to get a hold of you, I want them to call you, not call me. What's the best number for them to reach you
at? They can reach us at Queens at 528-5500, or they can just Google my name, Dwight Lynn. MD.
That's what I did. Yeah. Great information. Like I said, listeners, it's the future. And I think if you want to stay healthy and play sports longer and be active, you see your grandchildren graduate college and have a life, I think you definitely want to take a look at this. We'll probably have to talk about this on Generations TV as well. So thank you very much, Dr. White. Everybody have a happy holidays, and we'll talk to you soon. Aloha and live well.